Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 222. In the news this week, not a lot happened, you know, except for Thanksgiving. And so I hope you guys all had an awesome Thanksgiving. I caught a little bit of a cold, kind of annoying, but that's okay. All the best. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving again. And with that, we are actually recording this just after the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm on a little bit of an extended holiday with the family, and we'll get right into the episode just shortly here. We've got a pretty good one. It'll be nice and short. We've got a good research piece, a little piece from the news, a famous Freemason, and then we're going to call it for the week. So, really quickly, I did want to mention, sorry that I sounded like I was sleeping in the last episode. Boy, I had the mic a little bit too close to me, and apparently picked up quite a bit of my breathing during the intro and outro of the show. And so no, I was not sleeping while Frater O was talking, but it did sound that way. I do apologize. It was quite annoying to me, but I couldn't just trash the interview. So I hope you powered through it anyway. And with that, we'll go right into the first piece of this week. So the first thing for this week is something I pulled actually from the November-December 2010 posting on the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry Supreme Council, 33rd degree, Southern Jurisdiction, United States of America, by W. Howard Koop, KCCH. True Thanksgiving is more. At the end of the first harvest in the New World, the pilgrims at Plymouth, along with Chief Massasoit and a party of 90 friendly Indians, joined in a celebration act that consisted of, quote-unquote, 3 days of prayer and feasting. The Mayflower passengers that signed the agreement, that became known as the Mayflower Compact, stated that they had come to the New World to escape religious persecution and, quote, for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. They endured a stormy voyage across the Atlantic Ocean at the worst possible time of the year, and later participated in that festival to give thanks to Almighty God. The pilgrims were thankful they had survived a stormy voyage, endured a terrible winter, and had been blessed with a good harvest that provided them with food. Food was scarce during the terrible winter, the first in the New World. Hezekiah Butterworth, an American author of the last half of the 19th century, passed on information that the daily ration of food was 5 grains of parched corn. During that winter, 47 members of the original 102 died, and at any one time, only 6 or 7 were in proper condition to attend the sick and bury the dead. On Coles Hill, yet, in spite of the hardships they endured and the sufferings they experienced, those sturdy pilgrims at Plymouth, after inviting the friendly natives to join them, paused to celebrate and to give thanks to God for his providential care. Lest we forget, this is the heritage the pilgrims passed on to us. A national holiday celebrated with a festive turkey feast commemorates it, but the heritage of those sturdy pilgrims reminds us that the true Thanksgiving is more. While surrounded by an abundance of things which are the accoutrements of an affluent society, we must not forget that in the back of these things there is the providential care of Almighty God, and, like the pilgrims, we are recipients of that care. To see life from this perspective is to see that God's mercies, new every morning and fresh every evening, are more than we can number. So gratitude rises in the heart, and we are thankful. All right, again, just a little quick Thanksgiving piece. I know it's after Thanksgiving, but we really should have that mindset all year long. We always think about how nice people are this time of year, and wouldn't it just be fantastic if we were this nice all the time? You know, maybe it's something we can aspire to at some point in human history. Well, the next thing I've got for you is an article, also a little bit older. This one comes from the Manchester Evening News back in March of 2012. It was updated on the 10th of January 2013 by the Manchester Evening News. Since this article's been written, there's been hundreds of amazing things that have happened over in England as far as the Freemasonry is concerned, some positive, some negative. Most recently, the Ancestry.com released records of Freemasons going back to the early 1900s, so that's some pretty interesting stuff as well. And, you know, like I said, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. But this one was a pretty good one. It was called Funny Handshakes and Bizarre Initiation Ceremonies, Myths, and the Freemasons. And we'll go into that right now. Funny handshakes, backhanders for businessmen, and bizarre initiation ceremonies. What's the truth about the Masons? The Brotherhood is stepping out of the shadows to tell us, as David Henry discovers. Nigel Brown doesn't seem like a man at the head of a sinister organization that's secretly controlling the world. With his impeccable manners and perfectly normal handshake, he's somewhat of a disappointment. Nigel is the General Secretary of the Freemasons. It's sort of like being the Chief Executive Officer, he explains with a smile. His headmaster appearance, smart suit, shiny shoes, thinning hair, and benevolent bank manager persona is not matching expectations. Perhaps this is all a cunning ruse, for surely Nigel can't really represent the Masons, that secret sect we know so little about but who hold such a vivid place in our popular imagination. Shouldn't he have had a trouser leg rolled up and be jigging around in an apron? There are some extraordinary myths about Masons, and it's really important to get rid of them. I'm very keen we are seen as a transparent, open organization, he says. So Nigel has commissioned an independent report into the future of Freemasonry by an outside body. When it's published later this week, it's hoped it will highlight the realities of Masonry. It's part of a campaign to cast light on the Brotherhood as it approaches its tercentenary in 2017. When we celebrate our 300th anniversary, we want to be able to demonstrate we are not the organization some people believe us to be. Ahead of the report's publication, he's touring the country to show the Masons have stepped out of the shadows. The aim is to correct the public's prejudices. He's got a big job on his hands. To some people, let's politely call them conspiracy theorists, the Mason is a sinister secret society, hell-bent on world domination, responsible for every war, assassination, and political coup since the Enlightenment. Others view Masons with more mundane suspicion, seeing them as a group of old men who dress up in funny costumes in return for business favors. Nigel insists the truth is very different. Well, how did the myths begin in the first place? I point the finger at us, because we haven't done enough to knock these myths on the head, and now the myths have become reality, says Nigel. Before the Second World War, we were actually right up there, respected in the community. We were very upfront and overt. But then Hitler had a downer on Masons. He sent up to 200,000 to the gas chambers. After the war, Masons became very inward-looking. It became very private, and people wondered what was going on. Nobody corrected the myths that grew up. Right then, Nigel, do the Masons rule the world? He laughs. I would love to say we do control the world, but sadly we don't at all. We don't have any political influence, and nor would we wish to have any. We're not a political organization at all. What about business backhanders? Members are not allowed to do business networking. They can go elsewhere for that, but at our meetings, we don't network. We only support people in their lawful undertakings, but that's to do with friendship rather than business activities. If somebody is sick or about to lose their house, we do what we can to help. It's about supporting each other as friends. Okay, what about women? Why can't they join? There are women Masons, says Nigel. Another myth busted. In fact, anyone can join the Masons. I'm proud that we have people from every age, religion, and social background. The Masons mirror society, and like society, we are very diverse. And the handshakes? There is no Masonic handshake in all the years I've been a Mason. I haven't been given any funny handshake. Well, that's saying something because Nigel's been part of the fraternity since he was 39. Now he's age 64. He's reached the top of the club. As General Secretary, he's one of the organization's few full-time employees. Previously, he ran his own consultancy business, and before that, he served in the Grenadier Guards, having trained at Sandhurst. If the rumors are true, Masons have all kinds of initiation rites, mystical ceremonies, and mysterious codes. One practice is said to involve hanging a noose around new members' necks. Steadfast in his politeness, he calmly claims that that's not a fair reflection of joining the ceremony. We see it like an umbilical cord. Masons perform a series of quote-unquote one-act plays. Like the initiation ceremony, he says, there's an element of theatricality which can seem strange out of context. Strange indeed, but these rituals aren't putting people off. There are currently around 250,000 Masons in England. In East Lancashire, the area covering the Greater Manchester, there are 6,000 members. Last year, the organization raised $30 million for charity. Among the good causes that benefited from their generosity was the Red Cross and the Royal College of Surgeons. We have a website. It's all there online. We're not trying to hide anything from anyone, he says. So if there are no backhanders, no political plot, what's the point? There's a wonderful feeling of belonging. In the internet age, life can be quite lonely. People are looking for a social structure, and that's what the Masons provide. It almost makes you wish the myths were true. So, another interesting article full of some wild claims in there, more especially the Masons, who are regular Masons in the United States anyway, might have heard some things in there and said to themselves, what? That was a little odd sounding. And I also picked up on those as well. Not exactly sure. Perhaps they weren't trying to divulge anything in particular. Now is the time in the show when I ask you to support the show. So you can support the show a multitude of different ways. Of course, do some shopping on onnit.com, buy some Alpha Brain, use the coupon code WCY, and you'll get 10% off, as well as a little bit of the purchase price comes back to the show. The price is the same whether you go through ours or not, so it's not like the prices get kicked up a notch just to bring them down. You actually just get a real discount. So thank you if you are doing that. The other way to do that is to go to the Winding Stairs podcast page or freemasonryart.com and check out any number of the amazing artworks there that Brother Juan Sepulveda has for you. Please check those out. Use the coupon code again, WCY. We do offer through our website at WCYpodcast.com. If you go there, you can pick up a lapel pin, you can pick up a money clip, tie bars, or cufflink sets. They all are very nice. They are the same logo on each one of them. They are not show branded, so they don't have my name or the show's name. It just says Whence Came You. Purely Masonic. I think you'll really enjoy them. The pins have a nice E-clasp on the back rather than a butterfly pin back, so it's a little bit more solid. And, of course, every lapel pin, tie bar, cufflink set, or money clip, they all will come with the brand new Masonic Roundtable bookmark, which is a really nice one. I hope you guys will like that as well. And of course, last but not least, there are the direct donations through PayPal. So if you pick the amount, whether it's $1 or $2 or 50 cents, whatever it is, you can donate that, and you can even set it up as a recurring donation if you'd like. So for those brothers out there who do support the program, I thank you so very much, because you guys really are the producers of this program. And with that, we'll go right into this week's famous Freemason. This week's famous Freemason is Robert Leo, or Bobby Hackett, born January 31st, 1915, and he passed away June 7th, 1976. He was an American jazz musician who played trumpet, cornet, and guitar with the bands of Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman in the late 1930s and early 1940s. Hackett is probably best known for being the featured soloist on some of the Jackie Gleason mood music albums during the 1950s. Sometime in the 1930s, Bobby Hackett married Edna Hackett. He had two children with her, Barbara and Ernie. His son became a musician as well, playing the drums. Hackett passed away in 1976 of a heart attack at the age of 61. The couple lived between Greenwich Village, Manhattan, and Los Angeles, California, while spending their summers in Chatham, Massachusetts. The couple is survived by two children, two grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Bobby Hackett was a Freemason and was active with St. Cecil Lodge No. 568, which was a lodge specifically for musicians and artists. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out the Midnight Freemasons three times a week at www.midnightfreemasons.org for three articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Always great content. Don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable, going live every Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central. And of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention the status of the Lodge of Gold Part 2 on the Masonic Radio Theater. That is in production. I've received a few sets of audio clips from the actors. We are pursuing to get all of them done, and soon I'll be stitching them all together to compile a great new episode, which should leave you on the seat of your pants, hopefully not for 2 months afterwards. So my apologies for the delay. It is a side project, and with that, it does not come always first. So with that, I hope you guys all have a wonderful week. Remember to stay thankful throughout the year, not just this time of year, and I hope the magic of the season is starting to take a hold of you. And whatever religion you practice, just remember that kindness rules the day. So with that, I'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.